Today, July 18th, 2024, is a very, very, very special date. 20 years ago today, one of the television phenomenons that has hit in our generation took the screens, and I cannot believe it's been 20 years since Entourage debuted, Tiki. And joining us now, the great Jeremy Piven in studio. Jeremy, what's up?
How are you, man? Thank you for having me.
If that was 20 years ago today, that means that you got to be how old?
You know what? Here's the thing. As you know, at a certain point, I feel like I'm a Cuban baseball player. You know, like I just got to keep lying about my age. I swear to you, I haven't said my, and I'm very vain, I haven't said my name out loud in 15 years.
Right.
I just don't do it. I don't, because, you know, you can then start identifying. Mm-hmm. Everyone's identifying as something.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Right.
And so I just identify as a much younger, taller, better looking gentleman. You know what I'm saying? But I will say this. I won the Fresh Face of the Year award at 40. And I said, there's nothing fresh about my face, but thank you. So, you know, black don't crack.
Right.
That's what it is. Being an African American.
Trust me, I say that
all
the time.
Yeah, I mean, because you haven't aged either.
No, and I feel like you must be black. You got some black in you?
Well, it's funny you say that because I grew up in Evanston, uh-huh. And I was one of the only white boys on my football team. And being in the backfield like you, they looked at me and said, no more. No, we refuse to have a white boy. And so they put
me... Oh, so you became honorary.
They put me on the line. I was 175-pound offensive guard. And so what I will say about that is when you get beat up early and you, don't win... And you're not, you know, MVP and you're not homecoming king and you get your ass kicked. I don't know if you...
Yeah, you're allowed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Early.
Just that one, though, not all the other ones.
Okay, yeah, I might... you give me the green light, I'm going to go crazy. No, it's good to fail early. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know what your journey was like. Obviously, you had to be the best player in every field you walked on.
No, I wasn't. It's ups and downs. It's the same thing. I guess your path is even harder because as a... athlete, you kind of just have the God-given ability to be fast or strong or big or whatever it may be, and it advantages you. But as an actor, like if you don't have, there's no real advantage other than knowing somebody. So what led to the break?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's funny you say that because I have never been a schmoozer in my life,
mm-hmm.
And I'm learning later in life, like, oh my God.
Right.
You know, because I always thought it was enough to show up, be overprepared, try to, you know, overachieve and do your thing and leave it all out there. And that'll be enough.
Yeah, the
cliches. And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, here I am. I have a movie that's going to be released later this year that I've been working on for 14 years. The best work of my life.
Wow.
It's called The Performance. And I play a tap dancer in Brooklyn who is not getting any younger. And, he gets the opportunity of a lifetime, and he has to hide the fact that he's Jewish and dance for Hitler. So
oh, wow.
It is heavy.
Wow.
And, you know, every year that, you know, I couldn't find the money, I just kept tap dancing and getting better. So by the time we filmed it, I was ready.
Right.
And so that, here I am, you know, at this, that's the great thing about acting is I, you know, can be, here I am, whatever, 40 years into the game.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting better. Whereas athletes, you know, you
There's
retire.
An expiration time.
You retire in the prime of your life, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is. 14 years?
Yeah.
Do you tap dance, actually?
I do now because they kept saying no. And no one would give me the money. Because I would pitch the movie and they'd go, yeah, check, please.
Right.
We're getting out of here.
No, that is heavy.
Yeah.
That is heavy. Now, going through your whole career as you have, I always come back to one of the first roles you were in as one of my favorite. You played almost like an Inception version of George Costanza in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
1993.
Yeah.
What is that like for you on the, you know, basically the set of one of the hit shows at the time, yeah. And you're a young up-and-coming actor, and you get kind of this unique role, and you smashed it out of the park in that episode?
Well, thank you, you know, but here's what's crazy, and this is blasphemous, and every Seinfeld viewer out there is going to hunt me down to kill me.
Oh, no.
I not only had I never seen the show.
Wow.
But I didn't have a TV. I was a regular on a show called The Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah, of course.
And I was walking across the lot, and Mark Hirschfeld, who cast Seinfeld, said, would you audition to play George? And I'm such a hungry...
Just because you looked great?
Just because he you know, their job, and bless them, their job is just to find everyone and anyone. They want you to be the guy.
Got it.
And that's how, by the way, that's for a tip out there for anyone auditioning. They want you to be the guy. So don't be desperate. Just be calm and cool and crush it, and then they want you to be the guy. So he thought, you know, that, you know, so I had worked with Jason Alexander. I'd never seen the show. So I went in there and just kind of did my best version of Jason, and they were like, you must be a huge fan of the show.
That's unbelievable.
And I said, yes, I am.
Of course.
And I'd never seen it. And, you know, but it was better because the reality is I was on set with them, and I didn't know who they were, and they're the Beatles. So it was really cool, and I think that they took to me because I wasn't on their jock. I was just like...
You weren't fanboying out.
No, I was like, let's have a great time. You know, every one of them was a killer, and they were crushing it, and they were peaking, and I got to be a little part of history.
Now, when you talk, when you think back to Entourage and when it first started, obviously Ari Gold here sitting next to us, that show, it captured something in people, and they still can't stop talking about it. Right, you get people talking about the moments and the interactions. Oh, what was that? Because you don't find it often,
you know,
especially not in like guy shows. You find it in like the girl shows, and you know what I mean. But the guy shows, it's hard to find that.
It is hard to find it, and you know it's interesting when I talk to people and I ask them what they're watching. People get this weird look on their face. They're searching for something. You know, how many times have you gone on Netflix and you're just like, you just keep scrolling, hit Hulu, Amazon, you just keep
going.
I guess
I'll watch another Star Wars spinoff.
There are nights I don't watch anything but trailers by the time I'm done.
Or, you know, what I'm getting is 20-year-old guys coming up to me going, I binged all of it during the pandemic. So I've got this whole new set of fans, and the people that don't know that are HBO. And they don't realize that not only have our fans not gone anywhere, but we have this whole new set of fans. And because I refuse to age, we could just pick up exactly where we left off.
I see what you're doing. You're lobbying for it to come back.
Well,
I see.
Listen, the reality is I've never stopped. And as I told you, with the performance is the best work of my life. And I'm doing stand-up comedy. Watch this transition tomorrow night at Rodney's. No. And
where is it? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night at Rodney's. You can go to rodneyscomedy.com for tickets. 7:30 and 9:30 show. And the thing about me is like when I was playing Ari Gold, Doug Ellen did a brilliant job writing it, and he wanted me to go word for word, and I did. And then I would always try to kind of, because I come from Second City in Chicago, an improv group. I started with Chris Farley. That's how old I am.
Wow.
In the 90s. So I'm always trying to get my stuff in. Finally, I went, what am I doing? Why don't I just get up there? Because I've always wanted to do it. You got to test yourself. You know, you can wonder what it's like, or you can throw yourself in, and you have to be willing to fail and to be humiliated publicly. Yeah. You have to be able to walk through that. And once you get past that, you're like, okay, I can do this. But I found out very fast that I need to do 5 to 8 shows a week, you know, a couple hundred shows a year to get good.
Wow, that is great. Now,
easily.
With Entourage, obviously the beauty of it is you guys represented what every guy group with their friends are, but they wanted to be that. And that's exactly what the show was about. But the idea of HBO Sunday night 20 years ago is still really the heyday. We're talking Sopranos right after that and everything. Those shows seemingly are always massive hits. Did you know basically right off the bat that it was going to be a massive hit?
Well, this is what I knew, and I'm not being Monday morning quarterback, but I did know that Sex and the City, that we're incredible company. So you had Sopranos. And because...
Before that, The Wire.
Yeah, and because it was a show, and actually, Larry Sanders, the show I did, kicked off original programming a million years ago. So we were in great company, and I knew that people are fascinated to this day with the backstage life of Hollywood. So I just knew, and I knew that this was based on Wahlberg's life, and Wahlberg has a very colorful... He's a group of friends, right? Yeah, there is a drama turtle, Ari. There's every one of them. And so we could get very authentic and specific with this world. And I just thought, you know, we have a real shot, you know, because Sopranos was so good. Sex and the City was just crushing it. I was like, because you had the freedom with language and other shows didn't, I was like, we could do it. And I knew that Ari Emanuel, that he had all these dualities where you thought he was a pig, but he was really monogamous with his wife. He's an equal opportunity offender. But you know what I mean? So like, I was like, wait a minute, you know, if I do this right, we could be on to something.
You're speaking Tommy's language behind the glass right there. He's like, that's my guy. Look, he even got the beard. You look like him.
Yeah, Tommy's all about it.
Are you still like tight and in touch with these guys? Because I think in our minds, we feel like they got to still be tight. They still hang up.
You know, it's so funny. I have this, like, you know, everyone's got like a space where they just kind of keep all their stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was grabbing my stuff out of there, like a storage space. I kid you not. I was like, oh, what is this? And it was an Entourage framed poster. And I go, you know what? I'm going to take this. And I was putting it in my car. And I hear, hi, Jeremy. And I turn around and it's Rex Lee who played Lloyd.
Get out.
And it's like Rex had walked up as I'm just holding randomly. So it just looked like I was just wandering around.
So he thinks you're like a loser. Freak or something?
Yeah, he just thought I was wandering around with a poster of Entourage, just like reminiscing by myself.
You kind of were.
I kind of was, yes. And here I am lobbying for the show to come back. Rex is, and I've had him on my podcast, is amazing. And the reality is we spent a lot of time together. And, you know, we kind of know each other. We've seen each other mm-hmm. a little bit over the years. Yep. I'm just a stage actor from Chicago. I went to NYU.
Mm-hmm.
And Ari Gold is an amazing character.
Yeah.
And, you know, people come up to me and, you know, they say, bro, I'm a douchebag because of you, bro. You know? And I'm like, oh, thank you so much, sir.
What do I say to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you know, and I unpack this on stage, and I talk about the fact that people, you know, become agents, and they've named their dog Ari Gold, and, you know, and so they get a little confused, and there's a compliment there that they, you know, don't know that I'm a stage actor, and I've done 80 movies, and I've done all this, and so they kind of assume that I am that character, and I used to be offended, and then I realized, no, this is just, you know, it's just, I've connected with them.
It's also a credit to pulling off a character like that. Now, one of my, as we get off Entourage for a second, I brought up Seinfeld. One of my favorite movies of all time is Old School, and your character, Pritchard, in that is unbelievably hysterical. It's such a good role, and it always dawned on me when I watch a movie like that. Now, you're a stand-up comedian, too, and to be able to go, how hard is it to not break character when you guys are ripping off lines and you're in a cast with Luke Wilson and Will Ferrell? I mean, to me, I don't think I'd be able to get through two lines without laughing reading the script and the characters you guys played.
Well, listen, when I read that script, I'm not just saying this. I was like, how do I get in this film? And I immediately went to Todd Phillips, who's gone on to direct Joker and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, this is incredible, man. Is there anything left in this? And he goes, there's nothing left. I go, really? He goes, well, there's a dean, but he's a nerd, and you know, you couldn't play him. I go, why not? He goes, look at you. You look like you're Vince's best friend. You can't play the nerdy dean. I said, give me a shot. So I went out and found some, you know, big wire glasses and a sweater vest, and I did a comb over on my hair, and I just played this very awkward dean. And I almost blew, I've never told anyone this, but I've almost blew the role. I almost blew it because I did a take and Todd goes, that was good. And I go, what did you expect? He goes, what'd you say? I said, I'd like to go again. You know, because like, you don't want to be the cocky guy. What'd you expect,
right,
bro?
Right, right, right.
I'm an actor, dude. No, so I got the role and that's what you do. You play different roles.
I can't even imagine somebody else playing that role other than you and Pritchard. Like, it was the most perfect nerdy.
And it's funny you say that because he looked at me and goes, there's no way you can play this nerdy guy.
Wow.
I played the gay Versace salesman. I basically played Lloyd in Rush Hour.
Right.
So as an actor, that's what you do. You play different characters.
Now, is it... Like it almost feels like these things happen because it was intentional. But what it sounds like is that sometimes these best moments, these best roles, these best shows, 8 seasons of Entourage, it's almost accidental, right? It's like right place, right time. Like how much of what of success is your success and some of these shows' success and role success and character success so much that you get defined by it instead of who you actually are? How much of it is just luck?
I never had luck. It's interesting. And, you know, that's why technically on paper I was a late bloomer. But luck is a huge variable. And, you know, like Shakespeare says, the readiness is all. Mm-hmm. So if you're ready and you just have endurance, I mean, think about it. I broke through at 37. So that's when, if you're lucky as a pro athlete, you're retiring.
Right.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
So right. I started at 8. On stage, and I after 30 years I broke through. So if you're willing to just grind and just not be stopped, you're gonna break through. But a lot of people just can't stand the rejection.
Why did you stay with it?
Just because I love it, and I just knew okay, I love it. You know, in college when you're getting roles and you're, you know, beating you're a freshman and you know, you're getting the lead in the Shakespeare play and you're ready and I've done it my whole life and I know that I had something to contribute and I love doing it. I just knew I just need to get my number called.
Yeah.
You know, and also like I said about football, like I love football. I had genuine skills, totally undersized. Mm-hmm. There are no Jewish linebackers in the history of football, right?
Couple linemen. I played with a couple of linemen.
There you go. But so when you taste like, you know, defeat early and you're like, yeah, that's not right for me. I don't want to live a life like this. Like I'm good at this. And you just stay focused. You're like, I'm going to break through. I just got to stay with it.
As you mentioned, tomorrow night, you could see him. RodneyComedy.com shows at 7:30 and 9:30. What is the more difficult job for you? Planning for stand-up comedy and doing that or acting?
It's a great question. You know, the reality is like last night I got up and it's still terrifying because I'm trying some Trump stuff.
Okay.
You know, and it's so fresh.
Well, that you're walking on a very thin piece of paper right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's like,
what can I get away with?
And by the way, also, what's happening right now is so surreal.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, how are you going to beat what's actually happening? So you've got to take a different tact.
That's a good point.
Amazing way to put it, but yes.
You know what I mean? You can't. If someone wrote this and said, "Hey, okay, here's the deal," they're going to take him down. He's going to, you know, get a mugshot, and then he's going to be a folk hero, and then that's going to be merch, and then they're going to beat it. You know what I mean? Like it just keeps getting crazier and crazier. Right. So, it is nerve wracking, but I have to say, like when you do break through and you get that laugh and you get a new bit, it's really thrilling.
Do you have to change your bits depending on the city you're in based on like, the demographic and yeah. political backgrounds? You pivot that?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell the audience right away. You know, I had a rule in my house. My mom always said, you can say whatever you want as long as it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, and that was really empowering as a kid. I was like, okay, but it's got to be funny. You know what I mean?
And was she the judge of that?
Right.
They're either laughing or they're not.
Right. So. There had to be lots of times where you weren't, though.
Oh, yeah. Believe me.
I'm not talking about at home. I'm talking about on stage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, bombing is terrifying and the feeling is just humiliating. And so most human beings just can't. No one wants to do that. It's humiliating and your whole body's going, get off stage. And if you can somehow work through that and dig your way out, then the next time you get up, you go, oh, I've been through much worse.
Right.
So I'm okay. I'm a little more confident. I've been through, you know, when I started, I would go to this dive bar and there'd be like three people there to see the DJ and they're all on their phones mm-hmm. and no one's even looking up. And you're like, hey, are you Googling me to see if I'm funny? I'm right here. And they're like, yeah, uh-huh. And they're right back down. And then you're like, hey, man, you guys are probably wondering what I'm doing here. And then some dude in the back's like, yeah, man, what are you doing here? And you're like, oh, my God, it's hostile. It's a hostile crowd. Okay, they want to kill me. And, like, I've seen it all, man. I've seen it all, you know? So, you know, you have to walk through all that. And then on the other side of it is people coming out to see you because they know my stuff. And then they're happy to see you when you make them laugh. And we need to laugh more than ever right now.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why, you know, AI can do anything except comedy.
By the way, are you scared of that? Of AI in Hollywood? Because you're starting to hear a little bit more about
lending
your voices, et cetera.
Yeah, man. Here's what we're seeing in real time. Like you'll see like an image of Morgan Freeman and then all of a sudden you'll hear him talking. You're like, oh, well, what's this Morgan Freeman piece? And then, you know, he's doing some motivational speech and then you're like, wait, that's not Morgan Freeman. So they've got you with the image and AI is doing his voice. Now, Morgan Freeman makes a living doing voiceovers. You know what I mean? So like, you know, and that's how, you know, we all make a living. So I don't know what's next. I mean, it's like, you know, how you know, we have to, no matter what, you have to pivot. You know, it's like I was saying, AI can't do comedy.
No.
Because you have to have a human experience.
Right. Yeah. You can't think correctly.
Right.
It's not actually thinking. It's just Googling really fast.
Right. And it's taking all that information and assimilating it at the speed of light, which is amazing. But that's what's great about comedy. I'm telling you guys, from my point of view, what it's like to live this life. And if you identify with it and it's like, oh my God, then we have a shared laugh.
Right.
And AI can't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to keep grinding.
Yeah.
You mentioned all the things that you've done, and being on stage is one. But the other kind of being on stage, how much stage acting did you do or have you done?
I
only asked this because I was in Kinky Boots for 7 days, and it was it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done.
Oh, really?
It was amazing.
Eight shows a week.
Yeah. It was a grind because it was in the winter, and so they're trying to get locals as opposed to tourists.
Right.
And so it was a grind. Wednesday was the off day. It wasn't Sunday.
And you're making $11 a week.
Exactly.
And you're like, wait a minute.
And I'm still doing the show. So it was like, I loved it.
Okay.
And so stage acting, have you done it?
I've done it since I was 8 years old. I got up on stage I've done stage my whole life, you know, without stopping. And I didn't ever, the only plan that I had was I knew that if I went out to Hollywood looking for a job, I'd get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be distracted or whatever. So I stayed on stage until they called my number got called, you know, and then, once I, you know, started doing TV and all that kind of stuff. But I was doing stage up until, you know, the moment I started doing film and TV and keep going back to it. And someone said to me, doing stand-up will make you a better actor. And I thought, what? That doesn't really make any sense. And they were absolutely right. Because the reality is, the way I do stand-up, I'm performing. You know, I'm a stage actor. So I'm getting up there and I'm using the whole space. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing impressions. You know, I've been doing, you know, I've been co-hosting with Tyson on Hot Boxing. So I've got like Tyson stories that are insane. And
sure.
So you have to, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I'm using the whole stage and I'm having a blast. And then when I went back to film, I was like, oh, wow, I have no rust on me because I've never stopped performing. And I thought, okay, there are two different lanes. One doesn't inform the other, and they do.
Jeremy Piven, our guest, 20 years ago today, the release of Entourage. You did hint a couple times in this interview how much you would love for Entourage to come back. Have you had any substantial discussions with anybody on the show or anything involving this? Or is this just more of a dream of yours?
Well, it's funny. It's a dream of everyone I come into contact with.
Right.
I you know, I'm on stage and people are like, Lloyd! You know what I mean? Let's hug it out, bitch! You know? And I'm like, I do.
That was okay, too.
Okay. Do you have Tourette's, sir? Are you okay? What's going on? So I'm just telling you. I mean, HBO or Max or any of these people, they don't see what I see because I see people who miss it. They're still connected with it. They're still watching it. It's still relevant. You know, and what's funny is people are like, how would they navigate this culture? And the reality is it would be even better because having Ari navigate this culture, having Lloyd maybe be his politically correct consultant.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it could be really fun.
Right now, it's really complicated. You're in danger of getting canceled now, and that's your job. Like, let's paper this. What would you guys be doing right now?
Well, imagine, you know, Lloyd would be like, you know, so Ari, you have to like use the right pronouns. He's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? He goes, you're not a friend to the gay man. I am a friend to the gay man. You know, and then he would probably say, your pronouns are? Your pronouns are has and been. You're a has been. You know what I mean? And then maybe he would get canceled and then they would have to go find him and get him, you know, pull him out of the hole. I mean, it would be funny to see him last like 2 minutes and then go have to pull him out.
And it's not unprecedented. I mean, look, Dexter came back. They had a season after that. I mean,
everyone's come back.
Yeah, and or they're
Saved by the Bell.
Right, exactly. There was a Fresh Prince, right? I mean, so Full House, everything is up there. Yeah, I think I'm on board. Entourage needs to come back. Let's start the movement, Jeremy.
Yeah, but I mean, also, there's so many different ways to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you never made it onto the show. I mean, there were so many guys who were, we got a late-breaking something coming out.
No, it's
just the reads.
Just the reads. Tommy brings them in late.
Oh, I love it.
So loud, though, right?
I mean, you're mini-me, Tommy.
But, I mean, there are, you know, so many different ways to do the show. There could be athletes.
Right.
You know, I mean, I remember just even with, I was sitting there with Tyson and we were interviewing, Mike Tyson, and we were interviewing Saquon Barkley on his podcast. I don't know if you guys ever saw this. You might want to Google this. It's the most surreal thing you've ever seen in your life, where Mike just goes.
Because he has a boxing background, Saquon, because his uncle
yes,
right, was a boxer.
Yes, and apparently There's a situation between his uncle and Mike, and it was wow. unbelievable. Mike just starts taking handfuls of mushrooms and eating them, and then Saquon looks at me and he I swear to God, he goes, is this normal? What's going on? And I go, yeah, man, it's okay. So it's gonna be everything's gonna be all right. And Mike just like threw me. You know, he's just, I swear to you. And then he goes, and then Saquon, you know, Mike's like, you know, what are you up to these days? What's going on? He's like, you know, I'm just coming back off this injury. He goes, no, I mean, what's happening? Like, who do you love right now? Is there someone in your life? He's like, what do you mean? He goes, you know, I mean, you know, do you have children? He goes, yeah, I have children. He goes, do you love, you know, babies, mama, do you love her? He goes, look in the camera and tell him how much you love her. And Saquon's like, what's going on right now? And Mike is peeking on mushrooms. And Saquon and I just, you know, I became the adult in the room, and I just walked him through. And by the way, it ended up being an amazing interview. Right. And Saquon's amazing.
Of course. He's great.
He's an amazing kid.
Except he's an Eagle now. That's the only problem.
Well, I don't know. Saquon doesn't like Tiki anymore. Tiki said he was dead to him, and when he signed with the Eagles.
Right.
The whole thing.
He's an Eagle. He's with the Eagles.
I don't know the politics behind all that. I don't know why you don't throw money at that guy. You know why you don't throw
boy. No, you want to take calls from these callers for the next 2 hours?
Right. Okay.
You don't want that, believe me, Jeremy. You think stand-up's hard.
Right.
You don't want to hear from Giant fans on Saquon.
Okay. All right. Touchy subject.
Actually, Saquon's one of the greatest dudes in the league. He's just an Eagle.
He's an Eagle.
Yeah.
Try that material tomorrow, RodneyComedy.com, where you can get your tickets. 7:30 and 9:30 tomorrow night. 20-year anniversary of Entourage. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you guys for having me. Listen, come on out if you can. I'll get you guys. People just say, you know, what's the name of the show, by the way?
Evan and Tiki. Even though that's not Evan.
Yeah, it's not Evan.
Okay.
Evan's in Mexico.
So Sean's here.
All right. Well, Evan and Tiki, and you get a free meet and greet. Let's go, kid.
I love it. That's Jeremy Piven. Cheese at Rodney's. Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.